Okay, let's go to 1 Samuel, please, this evening. 1 Samuel. Chapter 3. Don't get too comfortable, if you would. Let's stand one more time. Amen. Stretching the legs and getting the blood flows. Make sure the eyes are good and open. And the ears, of course, and the heart. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. But wouldn't it be great to live in a time where the word of the Lord was precious? Amen. It is to me, but I tell you what, it's not to most. Anyway, verse 2. It came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." I'm going to leave off reading there. I want to talk to you. We're going to get back to the subject of the ark that we were in a few weeks ago. We took a break a little while. But verse 3 says, "And ere or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was." The ark of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We do thank you, Father, for again for this time together. Please, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to take full control of my thoughts, my tongue, Lord God, that this place would be hedged about with a holy hedge of safety from all distractions, all uncleanness, Lord God. I do plead the blood of Jesus now. Use your word and your spirit in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Ark of God. If you remember now, this is like, I think, the fourth week that I can remember anyway. We talked about the Ark of the Covenant. Most people know it as that title, the Ark of the Covenant. We talked about the covenant that God's made between us and Him, Himself, through Jesus Christ. How it's an eternal covenant based on what Jesus did. Based on what Jesus has done on the cross. And, amen, based on the blood of Christ shed for the sins of the world. And then we talked about the second week, we talked about the Ark of the testimony. And we said that the testimony of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, every bit of that is Jesus Christ. Amen. That the testimony of our salvation is the fact that Jesus rose again. Amen. And the power that he the Bible says he liveth forevermore. Amen. That's the testimony that God is able to save me and to keep me eternally secure in that blood. So also we talked about the ark of the Lord of all the earth. That was 3 weeks ago, I think. And we talked about the kingdom a little bit, how Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign, and how the children of Israel went into the Canaan land, the promised land, and there's a picture of how Jesus Christ is going to come back into this world, amen, and take over. Take over. He's going to do a lot better job than Joshua did. Joshua did a good job, but he didn't do everything he should have. But Jesus will finish the work that God sent him to do. Anyway, so tonight I'm going to talk to you about the fourth title of the Ark we're going to look at is this in verse 3, the Ark of God. What a blessed name this is. If you remember when we started this study on the tabernacle, and especially this ark, we said that the tabernacle and everything in the tabernacle points to and represents Jesus Christ. Okay, you remember that? Now, hold your place here, but turn over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 26. It says, "And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, Get thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted." But I want you to see there, I'm not going to go into the background of that verse. I want you to see there where the Bible calls this the ark of the Lord God. You notice capital G, capital O, capital D in your Bible, I hope. Amen. In your good old King James. James Bible. The Lord God, that's Jehovah. And over here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's the Ark of God. It's not all caps, amen. It's not all caps. But it's still, I'm trying to get you to see here, it's the same Ark. And the point of the matter is this, that it represents Jesus Christ. But the Bible says it's the Ark of the Lord, it's the Ark of God, and it's the Ark of Jehovah. So what I'm trying to say to you, and what I want to preach to you a little bit about tonight, really, is the deity of Christ. Amen. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Now the Trinity, I'm not going to get into the whole Trinity, but that's really what I'm talking about. There's a problem today going around our country and around the world, really, where man wants to humanize God and deify man. Amen. But what we need to be careful to do in everything is to always deify Christ and make sure we stay where we belong. Amen. We are sinful human creations. Okay? But Jesus is God. And this Ark of God, Ark of the Lord God, this is a testimony of Jesus Christ's deity. If the Ark represents Jesus, it's the Ark of God, the Ark of the Lord God, Almighty Jehovah. This is a manifestation of Jesus Christ, amen, and God just pointing to you and me. And we're going to study a lot of things here tonight. You remember, the Ark was made of shittim wood, and it was completely overlaid with pure gold.
Right.
Okay, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. The wood represents the human side of Jesus. He was all man, but it was overlaid with pure gold, undefiled, without spot, without blemish, representing His holiness, His deity, God in the flesh. We're going to use some scripture here now. If you just be ready, go over to 1 Timothy. I'm really just going to kind of do a Bible study with you tonight, but hopefully it'll be a blessing to you as it has been to me. It's always good for us to remember who Jesus is, and just to see it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. This is a blessed verse here. Jesus is, number one, He is the man. Look in 1 Timothy 2, 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. Notice, the man. The man, Christ Jesus. He was man, folks. He was just as much man as I am, without sin, of course. But He had the same flesh that you and I have. He had the same flesh. He was all man. But notice, He was also mediator. He was the mediator between God and men. So Jesus is, we cannot comprehend all of this tonight. I'm just going to show you the verses. And God says that Jesus was man, but Jesus was also mediator. Jesus was man, but He was also the go-between, amen, the middleman between us. And He had to be man in order to be that mediator, because there, without that, we would have no hope, amen. We would never have any access to the Heavenly Father. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is the man. Jesus is the mediator. But Jesus is also, amen, the manifestation of God in the flesh. And He was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. So He's the man. He's the mediator between God and man. He's the manifestation of God Himself. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. Everybody okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Y'all seem tired tonight. It's okay. I'm just going to have a little Bible study with you, and then we'll go pray. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. There it is again. Amen. Who is Jesus, of course, who is the image of the invisible God. Okay? God is a spirit, the Bible says, and therefore Jesus was the image of an invisible God. Jesus is God, the firstborn of every creature. Notice, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven. Who created the heaven and the earth? In the beginning, God. Now, the Bible just says right here that Jesus did it. Amen. Jesus is the maker of all things. Jesus is God. Look in verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. There be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Sounds like He's pretty important. Amen. I would say that he's pretty, I would say that this world would not be the same without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the man. He is the mediator. He is the manifestation of God. He's the maker of all things. Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John 6 verse 63. Verse 63, John 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, now if you have a red letter edition, this is in red. Jesus is speaking here. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. Jesus is the man, the mediator, the manifestation of God, the maker of all things. He's also the messenger. He brought all of that to the world, amen, that message of himself, of his deity, his incarnation, amen. He was God, man, and the message was spirit, the message was life, the message was salvation. According to John 14:6, if you want to look over there, you all know this verse, amen. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So not only is he the messenger, he's the message. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? So he's everything. He's everything to me. Jesus is all the world to me. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. In the same chapter there, John 14, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said it right there. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. There's so many things, there's so many proofs of his deity. That right there is enough for me. And I know I don't have to try to convince you, but I just want to give you some things just to help be a blessing with you tonight. Christ was proclaimed to be God at his birth. You remember Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The angel told Joseph, they shall call his name Emmanuel, amen, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Jesus was proclaimed to be God at his birth. Jesus, here's another interesting thought. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Amen, I'm just blitzing you with scripture, I know. Is your head spinning yet? Amen. Okay, good. It needs to spin in the right direction, that's all. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. This is a blessing. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Another proof that Christ is deity, that Christ is God. Look at Matthew 2, 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped who? Not her. Not her. Him. Amen. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto who? Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, Jesus accepted this worship from men. You understand, it was Jesus Christ himself. And look over in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Look what Jesus says to Satan. He says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy who? God, and him only. Now, he told Satan that, but yet just a couple chapters, well, several years ago in his life, he's accepting worship from man. What does that say? Is he contradicting what he said to the devil? Absolutely not. He accepted worship from man, but the Bible says only God is the one worthy of worship. So, again, we see another proof that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Look in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 2, and behold, there came a leper, that's leper, not leaper, and what? And worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus did not say a word to him. You understand? He did not rebuke him for worshipping him. Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. They're all through here. Verse 18, chapter 9. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and what? Worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose. He didn't rebuke him. He didn't say, you can't worship me. I'm just a man. No, no, no. He was God in the flesh, and he accepted the worship. See, the Bible teaches, notice, the Bible teaches it's idolatry to worship anyone or anything other than the one true God. It is idolatry. Okay? I don't have time to turn to Exodus 34, but Exodus 34, 14 says, "Thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God."
Amen.
God is a jealous God, in a good way, amen. And God says, "I will not share my glory. You are not to worship or bow down to any other god." Little g. Amen. Lowercase g. Because, and so Jesus, though, over and over and over, I don't have time, we're not going to turn to all of them, amen. It's in Matthew 14, 15, 20, 28. And see, Jesus is represented in the book of Matthew as the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews, amen, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, He's going to rule and reign as the King, but He is God in the flesh. He is an image of the invisible God, amen, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, the fact that Jesus accepted worship is more evidence that He is indeed God. The apostles, if you remember, the apostles refused worship in Acts chapter 14. Let's look over there, amen. I know you got time anyway, right? Acts chapter 14, this is an interesting little story here. Acts chapter 14, verse 11. Paul had done a miracle here and healed an impotent man, and he was walking now. And verse 11 says, "When the people," verse Acts 14:11, "when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.'" Well, now wait a minute. Yes. There's only one God, though, and it certainly wasn't Paul. Notice what it says in verse 12. "They called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city," they were idolatrous pagan people. "They had priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice." They were going to offer up burnt sacrifices unto Paul and Barnabas that day, because they thought they were their God sent down in the likeness of men. And then when the apostles heard of it in verse 14, Barnabas and Paul, they heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God." Amen. So they would not accept worship. They would not accept any type of worship, but because they knew there's only one. Amen. There's only one. Now, Jesus never said that. You see what I mean? Jesus never said, "No, you can't worship me," because He is indeed God. The elect angels in heaven refused to work. They refused to accept worship. You remember in the book of Revelation, John saw the angels and he fell down before and he said, no, stand up. Amen. Stand up. It's over there in Revelation 19. Look at it quick. Amen. I'm just going to give you a boatload of scripture here. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. "And I fell at His feet to worship Him." Now that's John. John should have known better. But you know when you get wrapped up in the moment, right? John was a little bit wrapped up in the moment. He had seen and heard and, man, some things that you and I can only imagine. And not all of it's written in the book of Revelation. But he fell at His feet to worship Him. "And he said unto me, 'See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus.'" Notice those next two words. Worship God. Amen? "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." I love that. The Bible is so perfect. Amen? Without error, without controversy, infallible. Worship God. But yet you look through all the Gospels, but especially Matt, and you see over and over again, people worship Jesus. He's not just a prophet like everybody wants to say. I tell you, when I was in prison last week, again today when I was out talking to people, that's what everybody wants to tell me. And Jesus is a prophet, and they accept Him as a prophet. And I say, listen to me, dude, friend. Amen, friend. Jesus is a prophet, yes, but He's a lot more than a prophet. He is God manifest in the flesh, amen. And He's worthy of all our worship. Do you remember that scripture that we quoted, that we learned back in Revelation chapter 5? Look up there with me real quick. Revelation 5, verse 12. Look at this verse. Talk about Jesus being worthy of all worship. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, y'all remember this verse? I don't know, it was years ago. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Look, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and what? Honor and glory and blessing. Amen. That's not just a prophet. And that's not just a lamb that was slain. That's not just a man that died on a cross. That is our God Almighty, amen. Only God is worthy of all of that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our Savior. Jesus did not reject worship from men, a further proof that He is indeed God. He proclaimed to be God, that He was proclaimed to be God at His birth. And I want to say this to you too, also, quickly tonight. Jesus is called Lord, Lord, 663 times in the New Testament.
Amen.
Lord. Jesus is also called God. Now this is even better. By several people in several places. Now let's look at a couple of them. Okay, I'm not gonna keep you here all night. Okay, I just love this though. Matthew 22, where Jesus is called God. Look, and David called him God. Matthew 22. See, the King James Bible, there has it has no contradictions. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 43. He said right here, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? That word right there, that word is Lord. That word is God, amen. That's David. David in spirit, call who? Christ. According to verse 42, Christ the son of David. But what Jesus said, well then how is it that David called him Lord? David called him God. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool. And David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And that's it. David called him Lord. David called him God. And all Isaiah, if you remember, Isaiah chapter 7 was one of our verses. Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a son is given, a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Almighty God. Almighty God. Isaiah called him God. Jeremiah. You want to look over there with me? Amen. Let's look over there. Jeremiah 23 calls him God. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Verse 5, Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Capital B. You got a capital B in your Bible there? And a king, a capital K, shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah, the branch, and the king, that's Jesus, in his days, Judah shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called. Look at this. Is that all caps in your Bible? Amen. The Lord. Now that Lord right there, that's Jehovah God. Amen. You understand, right? I told you that, right? When you see capital L-O-R-D in your Bibles in the Old Testament, that's God Almighty. Look what his name is, according to Jeremiah. Jesus' name. Not just anybody. Jesus' name is the Lord, our righteousness. I love that. You see, I don't have any righteousness of my own. You don't have any righteousness of your own. All of my righteousness is filthy rags. But the Lord, our righteousness, in all caps, that's Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's my Savior. I love that. Amen. Again, Matthew called him God. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus called himself God, believe it or not. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Remember that? I am. That I am is referring to Jehovah. It's just another way of saying Jehovah God Almighty. Let's look at when he was born. Remember that? Luke chapter 2. Amen. Are y'all taking notes? Am I talking too fast? Luke chapter 2. I love this. It's just another reminder, refresher course, if you will. Luke chapter 2. The angel, verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. But notice, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Christ the Lord. There it is again. That's that word. That word Lord. That word God. That's the same word. Amen. In the English, in the Old Testament, the New Testament. The angels called him God. Elizabeth, look in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 42. She came, and Mary came and arose, and she went to Elizabeth's house. And in verse 41 of Luke chapter 1, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord," amen, "should come to me." She called him the Lord before he was even out of the womb. Amen. This is our Savior, the Lord God Almighty. John called him God, Lord. The blind man called him God in John chapter 9. Thomas called him God in John chapter 20. Peter, my Lord, my God, remember that? When he said, "Well, I'm only going to believe it when I stick my fingers in the hands and in his side." And then he said, "My Lord, my God," he said. And when he finally, but he didn't have to do all that, by the way. All he had to do was see him. Hallelujah. Peter called him God. Paul called him God. God even called him God. You want to see that? Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus, the deity of my Savior, he's no mere prophet. No mere man. Amen. He is man, but he's also God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. "But unto the Son he saith, God saith, thy throne," what's that say? "O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness," there it is, the Lord, our righteousness. "A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." That's what we're talking about. "That thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Isn't that amazing? That scepter of righteousness, but God Almighty is calling his Son God. Whew! I know. No wonder we've got so many cults out there. "I just can't understand that. That just can't be real. So I'm going to change that, I think. I'm going to make that say something different that it doesn't say." Well, that's ridiculous. How do you expect to understand it? It's God's word, amen. That God is telling us that Savior, his only begotten Son, is also him. You figure that out. I can't explain it to you other than the fact that Jesus Christ is God, simply manifested in the flesh. And when he comes to rule and reign on that throne, in the scepter of thy righteousness, amen, he said he is going to rule and reign as God. And when I showed you that verse in Revelation chapter 20, when the God seated on that great white throne, that's Jesus Christ, amen, in his radiant glory. That's our Savior. That's God Almighty. Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you guys, okay, we're going to look up a few more verses here, and then we'll be done. One more proof that he is God, like you need more, right? But everything said about God in the Old Testament, okay, this word study comes in. Everything that's said about God in the Old Testament is also said about Jesus in the New Testament. Okay, it's a wonderful study. Okay, so you turn to Psalm 136, verse 3. Psalm 136, verse 3. I'm going to try to keep these in order so we don't take all night. But Psalm 136, verse 3. I'm going to turn over here to Revelation 19, but you turn to Psalm 136, verse 3. Okay? It says here, "Oh, give thanks," notice, "to the Lord of Lords." You see that? "For his mercy endureth forever." Now, who's that talking about? Well, look in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the," capital L-O-R-D, "God." Verse 2. "Oh, give thanks unto the God of God." You see that? "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of Lords." Now, I'm going to read to you in Revelation 19. The Bible says, "He hath, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh," amen, right here, amen, "a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now wait a minute, are we talking about Jesus or are we talking about God? Absolutely, you got it. So Psalm 136 calls God the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 calls Jesus Lord of Lords. That's his name, because he's God. What's that? 19, 15 and 16. Okay? Okay, now, Isaiah chapter 8. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8. While you're turning there, if you're taking notes, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, and then 1 Peter 2, verse 6. But let's look at Isaiah 8 first. Isaiah 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Okay, the Lord of hosts. There it is. That's Jehovah. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. You see that? Now, I'm just going to read to you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, like we just read, disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. So we've got Isaiah calling God Almighty the stone of stumbling. We've got Peter calling Jesus Christ the stone of stumbling. The stumbling stone. Okay? Y'all with me so far? I don't know. This is good stuff. This is food for your soul. Okay? Look in Isaiah 24. You look in Isaiah 24. And I'm going to go to Matthew 25. You look in Isaiah 24, verse 23. Isaiah 24, verse 23. Okay, here it says, Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Isaiah 24, 23. I'm going to read to you Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne in his glory. So we've got the reigning king over here, the Jesus Christ, the reigning, the Lord of hosts, reigning in Mount Zion. Jesus says the Son of Man shall come in his glory and reigning with him and all the angels with him. So who is it that's going to be reigning? Is it the Lord God of hosts or is it Jesus Christ, the reigning king? Amen? I'm going to show you. I got a few more and then we'll go pray. Look at Isaiah 40, the reigning king. Now we're going to look at the good shepherd. Y'all like that? I like the good shepherd. I'm glad he's my savior, but I'm also glad he's my good shepherd. Amen. He's the door of the sheep, but he's also the good shepherd for the sheep to lead me after I go through the door. Amen. I like that. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. The Lord God, right? You see that? Will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock. Who? The Lord God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Amen. You understand John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. So there again, we've got God being the shepherd, leading. We've got Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. In Isaiah 43, he's the only Savior. In 2 Timothy 1, 8, he's the only Savior. In Isaiah 44, look over there real quick. I'm just going to skip a few for sake of time. Isaiah 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself. I already read to you in Colossians, did I say Jesus? Amen. By him all things consist. Amen. Jesus Christ is the maker. But wait, over here it says, the Lord God Jehovah is the one that formed thee and maketh all things. It's not a different person, okay? And finally, we'll close with this one. Look at Isaiah 45, okay? 45 verse 22. I love this. This is the best one. We'll end on this one. Isaiah 45 verse 22. And I'll go to Philippians chapter 2. Okay. Isaiah 45. Let me read there real quick. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Notice, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have our righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. But every knee shall bow. He says, I am God. Now Philippians chapter 2 says in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And again, I'm just saying to you tonight, just a little Bible study really, if you will. The ark of God, the ark of the Lord God, we have Jesus Christ, creator, maker, sustainer, redeemer, man, mediator. He's the messenger. He's the message himself. He is the manifestation of God. He is Christ, the Almighty God manifest in the flesh, amen. And we have no reason to doubt that he's coming again, and that scepter of righteousness has already been given him, and he's going to rule and reign in righteousness from, amen, from Mount Zion. The Ark of God. What a blessed name it is. The Ark of the Lord God, Jehovah Almighty. Jesus is no mere prophet. He was a prophet, but he is God in the flesh, amen. Now, what is that? I want to show you one more verse, okay? Look in Acts chapter 20, and we'll close. Acts chapter 20. If you have any doubts about Jesus being God after tonight, you just weren't listening. Or you're just stubborn, more stubborn than I thought. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. You're more stubborn than a mule. But anyway, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Look what it says here. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, notice, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. Jesus is God. It was God's blood that was shed on the cross that day. It was God's blood. His own blood is the reason you have a church today. The blood of God, the blood of God Almighty, the blood of Jehovah, the blood of Jesus, same blood is the reason we have a church today. Amen. He hath purchased it with his own blood. He shed that blood. It cost him a lot. It's a shame. It's a shame how so many people don't understand the value of the church. But the real heart of the issue is this. Listen. It's just, I know Jesus is God, I know God is God, and I know everything I have is, I owe it all to him. I owe it all to him. And I thank God for the Bible. How else would we ever know all of that? Amen. How else would we ever know all of that? Amen. What a blessing it is. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Lord, I know it was just a Bible study tonight. But Lord, I do pray that you would encourage your people. Just feed us, Lord God. Feed our spirits and our souls as we look into the eyes of our Savior, Lord, through the Bible, Lord God. We remember and we realize, Lord, who he really is. We realize, Lord God, that he's no mere mortal, Father. He's no created being, God. He's been with you from the beginning of time. He is indeed the Creator. He is part of the Godhead, the Son. And Lord, I thank you for the truth of the Bible, and I thank you for the truth of our Savior, his deity, Lord. May we never, Lord God, underestimate his power, his righteousness. May we never forget, Lord God, to worship him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, all of our strength, Lord God. Thank you for your people tonight. Thank you for this time together around your word. Thank you for the fresh bread from heaven, Lord, and the living water to feed our thirsty souls. Now bless us, Lord God, I pray now as we go into our prayer times. Lord, I pray that we would indeed spend some time with you. Lord God, please help us, Lord God. I pray for our church, Lord. Please keep working in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.